From the flood to the cross, one bloodline carried the promise. This is the blessed line, the descendants of Shem, chosen by God to carry his name and his covenant.
Hey everybody, welcome back again to Last Christian. We're having another fun day where we're studying the Bible. We are way up into Genesis chapter 10. I know it's been a year and a half, and we thought we'd be through the whole Bible by now, but that's not the case. There's just so much in here. Now, we've been talking about the sons of Noah, and then we brought up Japheth, who was actually the firstborn. So even though it says Shem, Ham, and Japheth, it's because Shem is the important line, and then there was Ham, and then Japheth afterwards. So, Joel, we're going to get into Shem tonight. What do you think?
I'm ready. I've done a little bit on this, David, not a lot, but, you know, read through a little bit on it, and it looks like it's going to be really good.
Yeah, it is. Now, there's some things about Shem. What do you know? Shem, and what comes to mind when you say Shem?
Abraham. I mean, Abraham, having gone through everything, that was the one thing that really jumped out at me. What was his line, which is pretty impressive, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. But, yeah. That was the first thing that really jumped out at me, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, everything goes through Abraham, basically.
Mm, yeah.
Abe was like the man. Even, you know, the Jews with the promises. And then even as Christians worldwide, we're sons of Abraham.
Just real quick, the other thing that did it, and I can't remember if it's attached to Abraham or to Shem, you can tell me, but mm-hmm. that all the big religions, and we're talking Christianity, Judaism, mm-hmm. even Islam comes through this.
Yeah, because they tried to do it, and it's all prophetic. We can actually get into that. I don't know if we can do it all in one show, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Right.
But it does come down to that, and there's a reason for that. And Adam was the type of Christ, and then we have the first Adam and the last Adam. So there's that type there. But then that further is clarified through Enoch, and then further clarified, well, actually through Cain and Abel, but there was Seth. So right. Seth, and like as you go along, there's always that line that God's going to go down eventually. And then when Jesus comes back, he's going to rule from the throne of David. So there you go.
Yeah. Like I said, I've done read over a little bit of this, but there's a lot. There's a lot here, David. So I'm going to, as usual.
Yeah, there's going to be a bit. And I didn't even write everything. Because it's like, I'll remember when I get there.
Yeah, okay. You got to give me the cliff notes. Yeah, I got you. I understand.
Yeah. The bullet points that remind me of all the incredible amount of stuff we're going to talk about. So, give us here and hear Jews say Hashem.
Not sure. I don't think so.
Not really? Okay, yeah. It does a lot of that in here, especially Messianic Jews that say Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Yeah.
Well, the reason, David, is you're in New York. You got to remember, I'm in deep rural Texas, and if there's a Jew living in my city, I don't know him, okay?
And he probably doesn't even know.
Yeah, I mean, here, I used to know a few of the Jewish faith when I lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But, that's a huge area there. But out here with a, population of 4,000,
I just drove through Crown Heights, and there was 4,000 Jews on the street I was driving through today.
I can believe it.
They're just everywhere. And apparently, like we told you, the Messiah is in Brooklyn. They got posters all over the place.
They got posters.
He's in Brooklyn.
I hope he's well protected. I hope he's well protected right now, the way that's kind of things are going.
Ben Kadori, Rabbi Kadori, was died in the 90s, but he actually wrote in all of his notes that Jesus was the Messiah. It was a big thing. Now there's a huge messianic movement among the Orthodox rabbis over there because of it. And they do things on purpose. And after someone's dead for a year, you're not allowed to talk bad about them. So he had that. He had his notes sealed for a year. He says, do not open these until a year and a day. And he opened it up, and it said, Jesus is the Messiah, and you guys need to turn to him. So I was like, that was pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool, yeah. That's pretty cool.
But that's what Shem means, name.
Okay.
So it's renown, but you know, in the Hebrew, it's everything's bigger and more ethereal. Okay. So, but it literally means name, but like to make a name for yourself means you're renowned. Yeah. So that's what they say, because there was a time when the Jews were being persecuted, and if they were found with a Torah, or if they were found with any kind of Jewish implements, a menorah, anything, even if they said Yehovah, they would be killed.
Oh, wow.
So instead of doing that, they said, oh, well, the name's too holy, you can't say it. And but they would say, okay, the name, Hashem, the name.
Mm-hmm.
So that became it. Technically, it means what's his name?
What's his name?
In Hebrew, it's like, yeah, and we worship what's his name.
Well, that's better. That's better than Biden. You know, the thing. That's better than
the
that.
Thing. That's what it means. I get where they're coming from. They didn't want to be killed, so they didn't say Yehovah. But that doesn't mean you can't say the name. So a lot of the tradition has come down, and it says, oh, Hashem, it's because the name's too holy. It's unpronounceable. Well, why did he tell you to pronounce it all the time? And why did he write it out? No, that's not the case. You got to learn your history. It's because they were going to be killed if they actually, someone heard them say the name, which is horrible because it's mostly Christians that were doing it.
Yeah, so, yeah. Anyway.
But you've heard the term Baruch Hashem Adonai.
You've said it a few times.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah, that's Baruch is bless, Hashem, the name Adonai of the Lord.
Okay.
Bless the name of the Lord.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's where that comes. So if you see Shem, that's what it means, and depending on the context it is. But the name, so now Shem is the one who's going to have the name through history.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's where the term comes from, anti-Semite. It's really anti-Shemite.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was thinking about it on riding in a car, actually. Semite, I mean, I know what it means to be anti-Semite. I don't understand Semite. I mean, where does that come from exactly?
It's just because it, depending on where you put your vowel points and how you make the words, the shin, it was actually pronounced either with an SH or an S.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
And it depends. And, you know, like Texas, you know, they talk different than New York, but it's still kind of English. And then Mark, forget about it.
Yeah, you know? For real. Yeah. Well, actually, I can understand Mark pretty good with the, you know, from the United Kingdom. But the first time I ever went to Ireland, they speak English, I guess. I mean,
they're mixed with Gaelic and stuff.
It took a couple of minutes for me to be able to understand what they were talking. I mean, I knew they were speaking English, but I didn't know what kind. And it took me a bit, you know.
And then now, if you're up in Scotland, it's, you know, the typical thing. But that there's that idiom, too. If it's not Scottish, it's crap. Everything's got to be Scottish. Paxton derives from Scotland, actually.
Oh, okay.
The first Paxton was actually a Scottish town, Paxtown.
Okay.
And the first Paxton was actually David as well.
Oh, okay. Well, you got.
And there's really only one lineage, like a Smith. Everybody was a Smith, so you got lineages all over the place.
Yeah.
Smiths. And you know, and like that old joke, you got more chins than a Chinese phone book. But Paxton, if anybody's a Paxton, and sometimes it's a Paxson, they all came from that one line in that one town.
Oh, well,
so
that means
they are a relative.
That means that you're related to, I think it's our lieutenant governor.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. They moved. They change titles every now and then. It seems like the same people are always doing it, you know, in Texas.
Yep.
And he may have been the attorney general before he was the lieutenant governor or something. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because, you know, you get paid for life once you're in those spots. So
for
just
real.
Keep switching positions. So
yeah,
paid for
yeah.
Life.
We only chased him out one time, you know, just one time. They had the Democrats way back in the 70s. And there was some corruption that went on, so they mm-hmm. primaried every single one of them. They all lost. Every one of them lost. And then the Republicans won in the general election, and they've never given it up since.
That's
the way it worked.
and there we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not quite far back as Shem in the Bible, but close enough. So Shem is, you know, known as the blessed line.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people are like, oh, it's blessed. They think they're special and better than everyone else. No, it's just that this is where God chose to do all the stuff that he needed to do.
Yeah.
Because clearly, you know, Israel's not where it's supposed to be at this
real.
Point in
yeah.
time.
Well, I've got to ask another question mm-hmm. here because this is in brackets. I don't know what you call them.
Mm-hmm.
This implies that God's covenantal name, and this is in brackets, whatever.
Yeah.
YHWH. And what went through my mind, of course, is Yahweh. That's what went through my mind. But is that what that means, or is there another?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Yod Hey Vav Hey. And then Vav, depending on where you put it, could be a W or a V.
Okay, because I know you said at one time that the original Hebrew, I guess Hebrew now even, doesn't have vowels in it. And so that's the reason
correct.
I put it together as Yahweh. Is when I saw that, it's like, oh, okay.
And that's cool, too, because modern Hebrew is built from the Masoretic text, which is the squares that we see today.
Okay.
Originally, it was pictographs, like my logo. There's an Aleph and a Tav in there, and it was like the Aleph was the ox head. And that's where, if you look at it, that's eventually how we got our A.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tav is a T, where it's the T, Tav, you know, so.
Because
it was a cross, though. It was basically a cross.
Yeah. You guys need to go back to our very first Bible studies, you're going to go back about a year and a half, like David was saying, but if you go back there and we kind of went over that almost letter by letter, we did go over it by letter by letter.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So Yod Hey Vav Hey, there's so many things that God wiped into there. It's amazing. So Hava is to be in Hebrew.
Okay.
To be, and Yod Hava, and then you know, Hava at the end. So basically it's a combination of the word to be in its past, present, and future forms.
Okay.
So literally when you write it out, it is the one who is and was and is to come.
Okay.
Because he's eternal and he fits that. Mm. But also, if you say Yahweh or Yahuwah, depending on your dialect, essentially, there's no vowels in it. In a language that does not have any vowels, it's the only one that's all vowels. And vowels by nature are breath. So
either
A, E, I, O, U, it's all breath.
Oh,
so Hebrew is very hard, you know. So they had to imply vowel points because that's where the breath came in. So now you have a language that has no vowels, no breath letters, basically.
Yeah.
And here is a word that is all breath, symbolizing he is the breath of life.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay. So that's pretty cool too. And then, the yod is a hand, right?
Okay.
And then. So Yod Hey Vav Hey.
Okay.
And so Hey is like it has different meanings. Hey is an open window, but it means behold, like, oh, I opened the window, now you can see, take a look. It's like hallelujah, praise, and all of a sudden it's this revelation. So you got Yod revelation, okay? So behold, Yod is a hand. Okay.
Okay.
So the yod symbolizes the work of your hands. Remember when we said, you know, in the beginning, Bereshit, and we saw that in there. The yod was by the work of his own hands on the cross. Bereshit.
Right.
So the yod is a hand, and the vav is a tent spike, or like a big nail, like a railroad spike.
Okay. Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
So it's the word not only is a breath of life in a language that has no breath letters, and not only is it the past, present, and future tense of to be, but it also says, behold the hand, behold the nails.
Okay, now we're getting serious.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's also the perfect representation of Christ. And, you know, just leave it to God to put 1,000 different things into one word.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Yahweh. What does that mean? Oh, yeah, well, let me tell you.
I'll tell you
what. Sit down for a year.
What is really incredible to me is that not only did the Jews come back after 2,000 years, the only country to ever be reestablished after 2,000 years, but they came back with the same language, too. There had to have been some challenges in that. I mean, when you think about it, you know, because the Jews were coming from all over the world, right? You get them coming from the United States, from France, from England, from Africa, from you name it. They came there. They came back there. And now the government says, okay, and we're going to speak Hebrew. And everybody said, okay, cool, we'll do that. I mean, that's
not
just,
even Yiddish. You know?
That's crazy. I mean, I can't even imagine doing that with any other language at all. And Hebrew is not like okay, I'm going to take it today and know it tomorrow. I mean, it is a tough language. I know people that have gone to seminary and told me how much they hated learning Hebrew.
Which is why I love it. So, yeah, check this out. You remember this guy named Tyndale?
Yes.
Yeah. Supposedly, he wrote in English. Did you ever read his Bible?
No. I did not.
You wouldn't be able to. I mean, it's bad enough that we try and read the King James today. And that was 400 years ago. So, 500 years ago, and Tyndale. Now, imagine coming back after 2,500 years and trying to restore language. But that's clearly what the Bible says. It was said they will speak their one language again. And I think it's if you ask me, I think it was the original language as well.
It may be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my humble yet totally accurate opinion.
I got no reason to doubt you based on everything I know.
So so that's pretty cool. Plus he said, you know, and the ancient ones will speak from the ground again. He's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So sure enough, when Israel came out, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Oh, there's the ancient scrolls.
Well, see, that goes back to what you always say, that you know that prophecy comes true, and you know about it the second after it happens. Well, there's another example right there.
Yep. So back to Shem.
Okay.
So Shem's descendants, he was the name, and then there was a lot of cool people that went in. So he had Elam. Mm-hmm. So we've heard of the Emalite and the Elamites.
Yep. Okay.
The Elamites. And that's Persia. We talked about that with like Iran and whatnot.
Right.
So they're, you know, of the same, basically they're cousins. So,
okay.
Powerful kingdom later absorbed into the Persian Empire.
Yeah.
We have Asher, and that's where we get the Assyrians.
Mesopotamia.
Okay. Yep, okay. And then, you know, the Antichrist is going to be an Assyrian, so he's going to be of the tribe of Asher.
Okay.
So they got a major empire. The capital was Nineveh. Nineveh is an interesting story. Played a role in Israel's judgments. Since we like tangents, Nineveh, most people don't realize this, but if you look at the history of Nineveh, they were basically from Dagon. They were fish worshippers. And
I thought they were pagan. That's what comes in my mind. Yeah.
Okay. They're 100% they were pagan. So, and just when you read the story and then realize what they were and what happened on that day when Jonah showed up, you'd be like, oh, now I get it. How all of a sudden did all this entire pagan land all of a sudden turn to the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The short story on that is immediately before that, they got an omen, which was a solar eclipse, and it was the longest one they've had, and it was darker than they can, you know, remember.
Uh-huh.
So to them, that was their sun god telling them to repent.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. So here's their creator basically telling them to repent. And then the other creator comes along, a giant fish, and spits this guy on the beach. All right. Now here, and he comes all and says, by the way, you know, this is just to show you that my God, Yahovah, has authority over your sun god and this fish god. And, well, that's when they all repented.
Yeah, Jonah's story, and, you know, just to, I want to run this one by you real quick to make sure I understand this correctly, and that is that the Bible does not say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. He says it was swallowed by a big fish. So,
fish.
You know, am I correct in that? It doesn't have to be a whale, right? It's just a huge fish.
Correct. I mean, we can even look it up. I'll put it in the background here while
we're
going on with other stuff. Yeah, but basically it was a big fish, which could be a whale, but technically a whale's a mammal.
Okay.
You know, if you remember that Seinfeld episode, is anybody here a marine biologist? There I was on top of the great fish, mammal.
Mm-hmm.
So Asher had the Assyrians, but then there's Arphaxad.
I'm glad you said that, because I would have had no idea how to pronounce that one.
Yeah, okay. Arphaxad.
Okay.
So from him came Eber and Peleg. They were the boys. Now, this is important because Peleg means to divide.
Okay.
So in the days of Peleg, the land was divided, it says.
Okay.
So there's speculation, and I believe, again, it's both and. So some scholars just say, well, that's when the, you know, because when the earth cracked during the flood, it took, you know, a little while for the land to finally separate.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But then there's the other half of the crowd that says, no, that's when basically when Babel came down and God had, he told them to go out and fill up the whole earth, and they were all trying to congregate in one city. That's why cities are evil. So that's where we live. So, and some people say, well, that's when God separated and broke up the languages so they would split up as well. Well, it's both. Not only did he split up the languages and split up the people, he split up the land so they couldn't even get back together.
Well, you know, that has been on my mind for a long time, too, because they're all in Babel, right? So you got everybody is congregated in one place. And like you said, there's a separation. I didn't realize when I first started thinking about this that the earth cracked open because of, you know, that caused the flood and all that. But I did understand that there was a separation of the people, and I always pictured it as like the earth moving apart, you know, the land masses moving apart. So it was just the luck of the draw, basically. If you were sitting to the north, you went this way. If you were in, you know, so that's how I always interpreted it. But it never dawned on me that this was all caused by the flood. You know, that never entered into the equation with me.
Yep. Yeah, it was a result of the flood. There was the flood, and then there was, because it, you know, the canopy that was at that time melted in, and then you have that mini ice age, and then it kind of, you know, kind of did all this stuff.
Right.
And then finally in the days of Peleg, which is a couple generations later, that's when it all cracked, and that's when the land separated.
Okay.
And we had a Pangaea at the time, and you could look at it. So that means the earth was smaller. And if it was smaller, what does that mean? Well, there's more atmospheric pressure, there's more oxygen, there's more, there's so much more when the earth would be compressed. But hell had to be expanded for the demons, remember? He had to lock up all the demons. So he's like, oh, now the earth is bigger, because it said hell has expanded itself. But there you go.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's got to fit all these demons in there,
right?
And a space for them to congregate, if you would. And then all that water came out. And they still, now they're saying there's a whole lot more water still in the earth than there is on the surface. Which I agree, because if you shrink the Earth down to the size of a cue ball, it's actually smoother than a cue ball.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even though we have all these mountains that we think are so big, it's actually smoother than a cue ball.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
So,
that's crazy.
Peleg is when the land divided, and then Eber is where we get the word the Eberus.
Okay.
Okay, so that's where we get Hebrews.
Hebrews, okay, gotcha.
Okay, Eberus or Hebrews.
Okay.
So Hebrews are technically, you know, everybody that descendants of Eber.
Okay, okay.
All right, but again, because of that fine line, it says, okay, well, this is the one, these are the Eberus we want to focus on.
Mm-hmm. And he, and this, and in this, I'm not even going to try that guy's name, but, from that descendancy, from the ancestor, that goes to Abraham, right? And next in line, your ancestor. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yep. So
I'm with
you. For Eber had his dad, and then, so I think that was his grandfather. I gotta look it up. But it was one of his grandfathers.
Okay.
And then Abraham kind of tweaked his father for making idols, busted them all up, and said, I'm out of here. That's a fun story. Read that in Jubilees.
Okay, now you got Hebrews. I understand that comes from Eber, but how about, am I pronouncing this right?
Chaldeans.
Thank you. I mean, even trying to spell it out and say it, I couldn't do it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm from Peleg. Okay. They lived in Chaldea.
Okay.
And then Lud has the Lydians possibly over there, and Anatolia was Turkey. Mm-hmm. And then we have Aram, which is right now the Syrians, or the modern day Syria.
Okay.
Is Aram. And so that's where we get the word, you know, Aramaic, the language from Aramaic.
Okay.
And
this
is very similar to Hebrew because they were all like brothers and stuff.
Okay.
So the Messianic line comes down through Shem, comes down through Arphaxad, and it's going to come down through Eber, and we'll see, you know, it fine-tunes itself all along the way, right onto the last Adam, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Now, the last Adam, as we know him, his name is Jesus in English, so don't get on my case, because we do Hebrew all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeshua, okay?
Yeah, we've had people attack our show for that. You know, well, you don't believe in God because you say Jesus. Oh, come on.
Great.
Let's be
all right. And you just spoke English, so you're out too.
Yeah, you're out.
Get out. Out. Get out. In the meantime, anyone who wants in, all you got to do is receive the payment that Jesus paid off your debt, so you are actually perfect enough to get into his kingdom and into his house. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half and we'll talk more.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run With Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run With Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
Well, there you go. I hope you enjoyed those commercials. I wonder what they were, because each station is different.
Yeah, that's true.
Was there like a car ad, maybe like a car dealership? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know a couple of them, but you know, uh-huh. Most of them are Christian related. I can tell you that.
Most of them are Christian related. Mm-hmm. So if you're from another nation, tell us what kind of ads you're getting between the shows. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I'd like to know that myself. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I can see it now. Oh, yes, we're having a very good time talking about the Bible. Send us donation today. Mm. And then we'll send a donation.
You sound like some of the people that call me on the phone.
Yeah. Mm. We are a listener-supported program.
We are.
Because we don't sell ads and everything on here. Mm-hmm. So you can go. Where can they go to support us?
Basically? Well, you can go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net, uh-huh. And there you can you can make a donation directly to us. Or if you don't have money to do that and you still want to support the show, then you can go shopping. You can go to, again, lastchristian.net, and it's going to give you links to the Conservative Store, to Everyday Dose Coffee, and also to Christian Book. And all three of those associate links there do help to fund the show and keep it free and keep us on the air. And you know, it's stuff that you're going to buy anyway, so why not do it and support the show and get you some cool stuff in the process?
Yeah. Or if you want to donate all your junk silver coins, because I like those are cool, you just mail them to.
Yeah, David is a big silver person, so Go to thehiddenday.com if you want to do that, and David will fix you up with his silver real quick.
Yay. But you know what? And on that note, since people do like to support us, when I tell them about this stuff, then they're like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like when the ministry needed a car, like it came in from like all over the place. I was really blessed. I was like, huh, how about that? So right now as a ministry, we need to upgrade some of the equipment. So I'm looking for we're getting into a video processing laptop, because the one that we have is 400 or 500 years old. So it really doesn't process videos well. It doesn't even play them well. Uh-huh, you know, like the one we have in the office here is really good. So this one's fun. But the laptop, you know, we go on the road a lot, and we got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
So we are looking for that. So if you want to help along with that, you can just go to thehiddenday.com and say, hey, this is towards the laptop.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one. So you got to get the gaming laptops too, JD. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
To do the videos right.
I told you my brother is really into computers, and I told him, okay, Mike, I'm going to let you build me one, you know, because that's what he does. He's really good at it. So,
and it's because of the graphics and the videos. I remember, because you know, I've had this one, and the whole reason I got the main one, it would literally take 7 or 8 hours just to render a video. And that's if it didn't make a mistake. And then you wake up and it's like, oh, it stopped. I got to start this whole thing again.
Yeah.
Now, when we got the correct one, the biggest videos I got maybe take 15 minutes. So it's a huge difference.
Yeah, it is.
We need one for the road. We just need some updated stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. The messianic line through our fax ad.
Our fax ad. See, I said
our fax ad. Okay. So if we had an ad that we sent by fax, it would be our fax ad.
So we're up to Genesis 11 now. We already graduated.
Yeah. Oh, cool. We might go back. Who knows? I want to get the other book.
Okay.
But this is the foundation of everything. It's Genesis.
Yeah.
After all. This, in the everything beginning.
Builds off of it. That's right.
Yeah. When you got to build your, like when I build houses, it was like, you got to build the foundation. It took you like a year to build this foundation. And then in 30 minutes, you'd finish the rest of the house. It's an exaggeration. But anyway. So we got, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Ru, Sereg, Nahor. Remember Nahor? Terah. Everyone knows Terah.
I know Abram.
Terah was the father of Abram.
Okay.
Okay. And he Terah, when you read the other books, you learn more about his story. He was the idol maker for like Nimrod.
Oh, that's stuff. Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, true to the story, because he's a messianic figure, Abraham, it tells of the story of there was this star configuration, the Matzaroth, and it foretold that the lineage of the Messiah is going to be born, and it's going to be Terah's next son.
Ooh, okay.
And that was Abraham.
Yeah.
So the short story is this. Terah went and got one of the maids who just had a baby, one of his servants, took that baby and brought it before Nimrod and killed it.
Oh,
said,
wow.
There, I killed the boy, So, again, we have that same messianic kind of theme. Yeah. Oh, the Messiah was killed, but somehow he's still alive.
Yeah. I'm not up to speed on that story. I think you've said it before, but and it's just now catching up to me.
Okay. Yeah. The pieces, they all come together. Mm-hmm. It's like looking at the puzzle. Yep. So he goes to live with his mom up in the woods for a while, and then he eventually winds up living with Noah, believe it or not.
Okay.
So here's all these generations later, and he goes and he lives 50 years with Noah. So he learned all about what Noah knew. This is the God of creation and all that. That's where he got all of his blessings and insights and all that.
Well, now, before you go on, and I don't want you to spend too much time on this, but I've got to ask this question, and that is Shelah, the very first one there. There's nothing after that. There's no indication of where he went, what he did, nothing. Do you know anything about that, or is it just move on?
I think he got a job at Starbucks.
Okay.
The last we've heard of him.
Okay.
But it's weird. I mean, maybe you could take that chart that we have, and later on it says a timeline of Eber.
Oh yeah, I got it.
Noah.
Okay.
So Noah, Abraham and Noah actually lived for 50 years or so. They overlapped, but Shem actually lived beyond Abraham.
Yeah. Okay.
If you can believe it. So Shem was born before the flood, and he had. So Shem had Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Ru, all his grandsons, right? Sereg, Nahor, Terah, and Abraham, and he outlived all of them.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
All the way down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 generations.
Wow.
So imagine you're 9 times grandson and you still live longer than him.
Wow. Yeah.
And he lived to 175.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
So that's why a lot of people will say that some of the teachers will say that Melchizedek was actually Shem.
Okay.
I don't know if I buy it. I don't see kind of much there, but I have no proof otherwise either.
Yeah, there'd have
but
to
that's
be
just
some...
amazing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So they went from, so Noah was 950 years old. Mm-hmm. Shem was about 600. And so, and that was a long time then. Then our facts add Shelah, Eber lived to 400 and change. And then Peleg, Ru, Serug lived to 200 and change. And then it went down under 100. You know, and then we think Abraham a long time is 175. But for that time, it was actually not that old.
Not that old, yeah. When did that stop? I mean, you know, I know that a lot of them lived to close to 1,000, but not 1,000.
Yeah, that were all before the flood.
When did the big drop-off happen, where now at 67 years old, I'm almost gone? When
you'll
did that
notice, right after the flood, they went to about 400 years.
Okay, so it went downhill from there. Okay.
Right, because now you got a different Earth, right?
Okay. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That makes
now,
sense.
Now, from Peleg, remember the land was divided in Peleg, so now we have a different Earth again.
Yeah.
So now the land was divided, and I surmise it got bigger again, and now we got less air pressure, because it's been proven more air pressure, it lengthens your telomeres, and then your cells live longer if you have more atmospheric pressure.
Okay.
So I think with the lack of atmospheric pressure, then we start to see them live about 200 years. Okay. And then from there, it just got worse because, you know, everything's getting worse and worse. The electromagnetic field got a half-life of about 1,500 years. Mm-hmm. We got, the infrared rays coming in from the sun. We got all these different things to where our DNA is really corrupted these days.
Yeah.
But I think that was it. So right after the flood, and then right after Peleg, when the Earth changed again, we see the dropping off of the ages.
Okay.
I think a lot of that has to do with atmospheric pressure, amongst other things.
Okay.
Just for all you weather geeks out there.
I just always, I think I said this before, but I just always thought of it as, you know, the Earth needed longer living individuals there to populate. You know, that's the only thing I ever thought about.
It's going to go back to that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's going to...
Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah, yeah.
When Jesus comes back, you know, that's a huge electromagnetic field that he's going to create. And it electroshock the Earth back into coherence.
Yeah.
people will live right through the 1,000 years. So I surmise that somehow maybe he's going to, you know, put the Earth back on, put the canopy back on. There's no reason he can't once he shows up.
Do anything he wants.
He's the restoring factor, you know.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. So, but there's lots of... Read Isaiah 65 for what the millennium's going to be like.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
So the covenant was taken one line at a time all the way down. I mean, even through Israel, it went down through David, right? It went through, okay, now it's now it's the tribe of Judah. Now it's this king. Now it's David. Mm-hmm. And then that's where the Messiah comes in, the offspring and the shoot of David. And that's when he'll come back and rule on the throne of David. So that's interesting. Not me, the one in the Bible. So, and that's where the Abrahamic covenant comes in too. And it begins with Shem's line, or the name. He's going to be made renowned. And here we are, thousands of years later, still talking about Abraham and Jesus coming to rule on the throne of David. So,
Shem. Everything coming to pass.
Yep. So, this is the importance. Jubilees really speaks to the Jews.
Okay.
So whether people think it's canon, not canon, it's not really the issue. The whole idea is this was a book about what the Jews were supposed to be doing for God. This was their design. It's kind of laid out that way. So it spells out Genesis big time. Okay, this is why Joseph was so important. This is really what happened in there. So Genesis has, if you look at it, is the cliff notes of everything. But that's all we need to know for salvation.
Right.
This happened. But then if you want to learn more, you read some of these other books.
I've got to get into that. I've got to get into that. I have not done it yet, and I've got to do a deep dive in that stuff because I haven't done it. I need to.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then there's the people, I don't read it because it wasn't part of the Bible. Yeah, but you read, you know, The Case for Christ. That's not part of the Bible, okay? You read other books to give you insight on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if we take it from that vantage point, you'll be safe. Read Enoch, but use it as insight as to what the Bible say. And if it looks a little crazy, then deal with it. But it was very important. So they were the custodians of the true God, because the Lord is called the God of Shem in Genesis 9:26.
Mm-hmm.
So Shem's line is preserved, the knowledge of the one true God, when the nations turn to idolatry after Babel. And then we'll see that come down. You know, now it's Shem's line, and then we see it come down through Abraham. But then you got Mount Hermon, where that's where they divvied up the land again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was talking about before with Peleg. That's where they divided up the lands. Now, the different people groups, the prince of the power of Persia, the prince of Greece, the prince of... Now, that's the lands were divided, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So they were divided by territories, and they were divided physically, and they were divided by people groups.
Okay.
So it can include all of that. What we like to say, both and. Right, Joel?
Right. Yep, you're right.
Yep. So, and that being the case, one of those lineages had to keep the truth.
Okay.
Yep. Right here, it's the lineage of Shem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And it's the language of revelation. Aramaic and Hebrew are both Semitic or Shemitic languages descending from Shem. Mm-hmm. And the scriptures were largely written in these tongues.
Okay.
Okay, so we have that, and we even have even some of the New Testament was still written in there, even though it was Koine Greek, it was common Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought process was from these Shemitic languages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were called to be a blessing to the nation. So not only did they have rules, and you know, a lot of the rules go back to, we're not supposed to eat this and that and the other, not necessarily, because when Noah got off the boat, he said, I give you everything that creeps.
Yeah, right.
Is going to be food for you. Everything. So why the difference with the Jews? And how did Noah know what was a clean animal or an unclean animal? And he told them he can eat all of them.
Doesn't that have to do something with the hoof or something?
But again, it's a reason. Because... Okay. Because of the way the animal operates. A quick one is the pig, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it will eat anything, even its own feces. And within 2 hours, it turns into its own flesh. It becomes part of the pig.
Okay.
Where a cow is only going to eat, it's only supposed to eat grass unless you're in America and they force feed it corn. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. You get the grass-fed beef. So the cow will chew the grass, so it's very particular. It's only eating this, and it goes through the one stomach, comes out, he chews on it again, goes through another one, chews on that again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's these four-stage stomach. In other words, everything is pure, but it's also considered again. It's rehashed. Let's talk about this again. So it's got the idea of really, you know, seeking deeper knowledge, and just said, instead of eating any crap you can find and it becomes a part of you. Now it's filtered. Okay. It's clean stuff to begin with. It's filtered out. You got to reconsider it to see if it's any good. Cause if the cud's no good, they're going to spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
So these were pictures why he said that for the Jews.
Okay, this
is a picture. And then leaven, why do we get the leaven out? Because it represents sin, and now if you get it into the bread, it's literally going to spread throughout the whole bread.
Okay.
So now we have for Passover, you got to get the leaven.
Unleavened, yeah.
So that's what all these different pictures and different animals and different things were for. Even like the abomination, like shrimp and lobster and crabs and all that.
Yeah.
They eat all the crap that falls to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Okay.
I've kept fish for years. I can testify to that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they got the same principle. So he says, no, you're going to eat a fish. Can't be that slimy, nasty catfish thing. It's got to have fins and scales. Okay. So that's basically the rules for a kosher fish. The idea was not, hey, you're going to be sinful if you eat it. The idea was, I'm going to set a people aside, and I'm going to present in parable form, in picture form, in metaphor form, how I want you to operate your life. And that is, one, don't just eat any crap that comes along on your table, because it will become part of you real quick. Okay. Consider things, you know, and that's what his word says. You know, come let us reason together. It didn't say, hey, come let us eat a bunch of crap and see what it says. Mm-hmm. No, let us reason together. So everything in the Levitical laws, that's what is designed for. Okay. And then if you miss the mark, that's called sin. And it's like, okay, so I asked you to do this. And if you didn't do this the right way, then I'm showing you, you missed the mark. So it was the schoolmaster is what Paul calls it.
Okay.
So there's the schoolmaster showing you that, hey, this didn't work and that didn't work and that's not going to help you. But then, you know, the wages of that sin is death. Okay. Now he showed you, hey, because you sinned, and the sin wasn't eating the pork. The sin was you just eating anything that anybody gave you, like the snake, and just taking it in. Now it's a part of you.
Yeah.
So now that's where it came from.
Okay.
It wasn't the pork itself. It was the fact that because of what it represents, that wages of sin is death. And that's when he said, well, Jesus came back and he paid all of that off for you. And here's all your pictograms of what that looks like.
Okay.
But that wasn't for the goyim. That wasn't for the nations. That was specifically for Israel, because the blessing was coming through Israel and they were to demonstrate to the world. And then the Messiah will come and save the rest of the world. So they still have a special blessing.
Yeah, well, I noticed back here on the custodians, it said, when the nations turn to idolatry after Babel. So to me, that says everybody turned to idolatry except Israel. I'm off on that. But
they did too, but there's a handful that didn't, a remnant.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But then, you know, even a remnant within the remnant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
And that's what we're talking about. That's why that's a scary thought, to think he's actually coming to heaven. He said the road's narrow, people.
Yeah, very.
Uh-huh. It's time to shape up if you haven't already. You know, just saying three Hail Marys and call me in the morning.
That won't work out.
I did have a fun argument with a guy who says, oh, you got to baptize your babies and make sure they're saved. I'm like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's what my church says. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, your church is wrong. let's go with the Bible, shall we?
Just to break that one down really fast and where nobody has any doubt, let's say that Charlie Manson was baptized at birth. Do you think it really counted? Mm-hmm. How about Jeffrey Dahmer? Or do you really think that baptizing a baby is going to count? No, you have to make a decision to follow the Lord, and then what He asked us to do was to be baptized. But once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're done. The baptism is not salvation. You know, and I know we're going to get a lot of people that are going to bash us for this one, but you don't have to be baptized to be saved and going to heaven. Okay, ask that thief on the cross.
We're admonished to do that as a testimony in front of people. So if we're still here and we're able to, it's like, get baptized to demonstrate to the world. But the thief on the cross, he didn't have time to get baptized.
No.
So but if you're in that kind of a position, that's different. If you can get baptized, go do it.
Obviously. Yeah, you should. Yeah.
You don't just say, I don't need to, and then not do it. No, it's... Yeah, that's greasy grace going on there.
Right.
But there's that. So again, both and, right?
Mm-hmm.
So an Abraham's seed is a blessing to the nations.
There you go.
Okay. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham. Mm-hmm. And so we see they're still gonna have a special blessing because of this, and because God said so, not because of anything that they've done. Just like everyone else ever in the history of the world, they've fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But because it's God's plan to work through that nation, it's our job to pray for them, because Jesus comes through the Jews. That's how we have salvation. Salvation is of the Jews.
Amen.
So you can't just dismiss them. Then we can dismiss you, because you were a sinner at one point too. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until someone prayed for you that you became saved. So what would you say? Ah, you were a sinner that day, so I'll just you know, cut you off at the pass and we're done. Mm-hmm. So blessing the nations is fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who is the seed of the woman and a descendant of Shem through Abraham and David.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's basically just pours it out. So when we see in the beginning, he tried to kill Adam's offspring, but then Seth came along. So Satan tried to kill Seth, and then he realized that it was through Noah. So he tried to kill Noah. Then he realized eventually it was through Abraham. So he tried to kill Abraham. It's the same old story. Yep. Then he tried to kill David. And so it just goes all the way down the line. He tried
What's
to
that
kill
insanity
the
thing again? Do the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. Satan hadn't called him yet.
Yeah, okay. And that's where we are now. Mm-hmm. The world is trying to kill off the Jews. This way, you know, salvation doesn't come, and Satan thinks he wins and he can just take over, you know, all of creation.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but that's what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have the prophetic importance. I think we can hit this for today and then maybe, you know, finish some of it, the rest of it next week.
Okay.
Isaiah 19. And then 23 through 25, it says, in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and Assyria, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. What, Egypt, my people? Huh. And Assyria, the work of my hands? And Israel, mine inheritance? Oh, so these are all through Shem, these folks.
Okay, yeah.
But it says, Egypt, my people, and maybe we'll get into it next time with the pyramids, because it says, you know, the nation in the middle and at the border, there's an altar, and there's only one place that has the giant altar thing is a pyramid that's on the border of northern and southern Egypt right in the middle. Anyway, that's a whole another can of worms. That's fun. And God's redemptive plan brings unity among the former enemies, all the descendants of Shem, then reunited under the Messiah. So we see Assyria, Egypt, they're the work of his hands and his people, but the inheritance is through Israel.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then this is interesting. You ever hear, you know, Michael Heiser, he talks about reversing Hermann? Now, most people don't even think about this. This is like such a profound thought about Pentecost.
Okay.
So Pentecost came, right? But beforehand, what happened to Tower of Babel? He split up all the languages so no one could understand each other.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted people to spread out and they weren't doing what the Lord had. But now Jesus comes to restore everything, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and what happens? They all come back together, and now even though they all speak different languages, they all understand each other.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's literally reversing the Tower of Babel there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's what Pentecost is all about. Now the whole world can understand. If you go anywhere in the world, then they'll, you know, they got these weird little thing offshoots here and there, but basically it's, hey, Jesus is God and he's coming back to get us.
Yeah.
So we're all talking essentially the same language with a little different flavor. But here's the main thing of the main language: that Jesus is God, that he came down in the flesh as a man to pay for your sins, and that you can accept that contract today, and then you'll be able to live in his house. Otherwise, you can't live in his house.
Amen.
And that's a problem. And he loves you enough to do that for you. So I would encourage you to just accept his blood covenant today and then just live for him for the rest of your life. So Lord willing, we will see you guys on the next show. You guys have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, the Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.